Hello and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast from the sidelines. Special guest today, Michael Havelock, England Learning UEFA B coach developer. We're going to chat around the UEFA B qualification. Michael, thanks for coming in from the sidelines today to talk about UEFA B. Can you just let everyone know what your role is with England Learning and your current roles within football?
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having us. So my role currently is I'm a coach developer on the UEFA B. Alongside that, I also am a technical coach on the Future Lionesses Women's Pathway. In my full-time role, I'm head of football at Northumbria University, where I look after the programming delivery for both the male and female pathways.
Great stuff, Michael. Michael, we're going to chat around the UEFA B content and what coaches can expect if they're looking to enrol on the UEFA B course over the coming years. I suppose a good place to start would be the course duration.
Yeah, so a bit like a lot of the courses now at UEFA C, the course is split over blocks. So it's split over four blocks, which are 3 days, 2 days, 2 days, and 2 days. And generally that's kind of spread over a sort of 9 to 10 month period. And that allows for learners to put into practice some of the things that we talk about and learn on each workshop in between those blocks, so we can try and really ingrain some of that learning.
Is it a blended learning of practical face-to-face as well as online discussions?
So all of the workshops are face-to-face, and on those workshops there is a mixture of theory, which is generally inside, which ranges from could be some discussions, it could be some PowerPoint, it could be some tasks. There'll be stuff where it's individual working in groups, and then also it's out on the grass where there's a mixture of tutor delivery, but then also the important part is probably that learner delivery.
Michael, throughout the course content, we're wanting the coaches to take away insights from the modules and put these into their practices within their teams as they're moving through their journey. Am I right in saying?
Yeah. So I guess the way that the blocks are set up as well is that because you'll be working with the team as a learner, then you know, we might be looking at, in the beginning, we might be looking at practice design, for example. So then you have the opportunity to then go away with your team in your setting, you know, and work on developing your practice design to try and incorporate some of the principles of play or some of the things that we might have been talking about, so that, you know, you learn the most from going out and doing, I guess. So that period of time allows you to go and do that and then come back and feedback that with your peers, feedback with the tutors and find out what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. So then you can go and almost go and try it again, so that we're continuously at the plan do review process. To try and get where we want it to.
Michael, on the UEFA C, we touch on the principles of play. When we're moving to the UEFA B, again we look at the principles of play, but a little bit more detail. So aligned to the players and the units, looking at primary players as well as secondary players.
Yeah, so I think on the UEFA C, we touch on the principles of play. And you know, it's about denying space, delaying the attack, you know, dictating the direction when it's out of possession. We probably look at more in depth when we go into the UEFA B, and it's about looking at when do we press, you know, delay, this cover and balance, compactness, control and restraint. So I think it's going into a little bit more detail around those principles, both in and out of possession, but then also looking at your team. So then, like, how does that? How do those principles fit into your players as an individual, and then how do they fit in within an individual within that unit or within certain players within the two units? So I think one of the key differences is when we're planning, we're looking at really focusing in on a primary player. So if I'm working on, if I've got an out of possession topic, I might be working on defending the 18-yard box. What I may then do is then look at who my primary player might be. So then if the ball is in a wide area, if I'm defending the 18-yard box, my primary player is more likely going to be that fullback on that side. But then that's where I start and that's where I work and that's where a lot of my information is going to be. So I'm working with that primary player. Then also then link to the centre-back because that's the next player in my unit. So logically then I work into that area next. So it's that it's creating that detail around what you want the players to do in those situations, your primary, and then moving on into the rest of the unit and up the next unit from there.
And key skills there from a coach's point of view is that the observation skills, Michael, of being able to observe not only your primary player, but the players around that player as well, and then in then situations.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I think it comes back to planning, you know. So I talk to a lot of learners around really trying to go through the process in planning, and you might not have to write all of it down, but if you go through the process of this is the situation, you know, the left winger received the ball, they're faced up facing the goal, you know, your right back is close enough within 4 or 5 yards of the attacker to affect them, what do you want them to do? So then we're almost going through that checklist of the things that you might want them to do, but every action has a, you know, has a knock-on effect. So then what would you then want your right-hand centre-back to do? What would you want your left centre-back, your left-back? What would you want your goalkeeper, your midfielders? So then when you're watching it live, you've almost gone down all the rabbit holes of what might happen, and when that happens, you want this to happen. So that when you're observing that, you can almost judge whether things are going well, because a primary player might be actually doing the job really well. You know, I might be asking them to close the gap down, show them the line, you know, and try and force them, you know, and isolate them, force them down there. They might be doing that. But my right-handed centre-back is not close enough, so the gap's too big. So if he does get beaten, then we have no cover. So then I'm looking at those next bits. So it's not always, you know, it might not always be the primary player, but it might be looking at the next part and the next part, just based on how well people are doing what you want them to do.
Michael, you look at medium-term curriculum programme planning. What does that look like?
So I guess we talk about, you know, that thing around probably all being there in our careers where we turn up to training, and on the way to training is when we think about what we're going to do, you know, and like, you know, there's going to be times when, you know, when that's happened in the past, but I think now it's about trying to evolve and ensure that we want to try and make the players better. So in order to make the players better, we've got to try and plan how we do that. So a medium-term plan might be something around a six-week block where we're looking to try and cover certain aspects in certain areas. So it could be as simple as we might look at an in-possession part of strategy in week one. So if we talk about our strategy might be we want to press high when we don't... out of possession, we might want to press high. So first week out of possession, might work on those front players, what that looks like. That's my practice, winning the ball or pressing high. When week two, you know, we might look at an in possession. It might be a counter attack when we win the ball high, or might be attacking in around the box centrally or wide. So we're trying to link those in and almost work in the different areas of the pitch based on how we want our team to play. So by the end of 6 weeks, we've helped them understand different parts of the pitch, what we want them to do and how we want them to do it, so that we've got that overall. And I guess it comes back to that thing where learners often say, oh, well, you know, we don't do this or we don't do that. And my question always is, well, when have you practiced it? You know, so when have you actually put the practice on and allowed them, you know, to act that out and be able to play, you to then give them feedback and help them to get where you want them to be. So having them that medium term plan allows you to maybe cover a lot of those areas.
Yeah, good stuff. One of the modules, Michael, coaching behaviours and practices.
Yeah, so I think like coaching behaviours is, it's really important, and it's a massive part of coaching. And it's not only like how you conduct yourself at training and in games. It's how you interact with your players. It's, you know, it's the mannerisms you use. It's the language that you use. It's the interventions that we use when the sessions are going on. So those coaching behaviours can be really important, because, you know, there's a lot of the times where, you know, the information might be the same, but how you've said it and who you've said it to and the way you've said it and when you've said it sometimes can have more of an impact, you know, based on a lot of those factors. So learning yourself to try and hone those behaviours and try and develop different parts of that, so you aren't just using one approach, you know. We're not just kind of like, stop, listen to what I have to say, this is what you need to do, you know. And yeah, that might be great for one moment, but then another moment might be might just be that I might need to speak to you on the side, Gary, and let you know a little bit of feedback or something that's going on. But more importantly, I might want to know why you've done something, you know. So you might have not done it when I thought you wanted to, And I ask you, and you might say, well, actually, I was worried I was going to get beaten behind, so I didn't do that.
Mm.
So then actually, I've got a bit of reasoning and rationale at why you've done that. So then I might understand. I might understand why you've done something. So again, those behaviours have got to be developed just like planning and just like, you know, all the other aspects of coaching.
Yeah, different behaviours for different situations, Michael, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
The different age groups as well that you're working with.
Yeah, 100%.
Game models and strategies, Michael?
Yeah, so I think this is a big area on the UFB. Mm-hmm. So what we get a lot of is, I think on the Thursday, if we turn around and say, right, plan a session, we'd have a range of, you know, I'm doing a session on passing, I'm doing a session on, you know, attacking. We could have a sort of wide range of those things. And what we want to try and help the learners understand is, by the end of the UEFA B or during the UEFA B process, is they have to help understand how they want their players to play. So what is their strategy? So I mentioned before, an out of possession strategy might be trying to win the ball back high, pressing high. I mean, it's very popular. You know, not necessarily always right, but I think if you have an understanding, develop what you want your players to do. So it might be that actually I want my defenders, or I want my team, sorry, to play defending a mid block. So we're going to sit back on the halfway line, make spaces really compact, be really organised, and then in possession we're a counter-attacking team. And the reason we play like that is because when I profile my players, I realise that actually front three are really quick. And they need a lot of space to play into a player behind, so we have to try and get the team to come out. So that's why we defend in a mid block, to draw the other team out, to allow the space to go in behind, so that when we win it, we make the most of our advantages, which is our speedy forward players. So it's developing that strategy and that tactic around maybe drawing the players in, and how do we exploit that. So helping learners understand that from their team then helps develop their planning for their sessions and things like that. So we go away from, oh, this is a passing practice, to actually, well, actually what we're working on is when we win the ball back, it's about playing beyond, so playing through, playing over, and playing wide, because I'm wanting to play passes into space, because that is based on my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's linking it all together so that they have an understanding. And one of the things I always like to say is, like, look, if you don't know how you want to play, how are your players going to know?
Yeah. Interesting, Michael. We touched on the principles of playing. What around the technical components of the game in possession and out of possession, Michael?
I guess the difference now is trying to see where they fit. You know, so like a little bit like what I mentioned before, is that if my strategy is how my team plays is to, you know, to sit in and then try and break and counter, then I have to understand what that takes from a technical point of view. So out of possession, it could be screening and marking and covering, because we are being nice and compact in that space. Or the technical aspects of that, I need to understand who needs to do it, when they need to do it, where they need to do it. That's what comes in and links this technical to the tactical. And the same goes for in possession, where you're looking at, well, actually, what kind of passes do we need to play? You know, what are the things that we need to build and work on? So, I work with adults mainly. So, for me, a lot of the time is I'm working specifically within how we want to play. My technical aspects are mainly based around that. But if I was working on, you know, with my son, for example, if he went into a team, then, you know, it would actually just be about developing a wide base of technical, you know, technical aspects and technical components, and covering all those different areas. So I think the key in the UEFA B is seeing where they fit into, you know, the four corners, where they fit into, you know, the technical, the tactical, and the psychosocial. So I think for me, it's really that understanding. It probably links into a little bit of our analysis that we need to do on the UEFA B, because it helps you understand the game and what it takes to play the game.
And just coming to that, Michael, you just touched on the analysis part of the course. How in depth do you touch on that side of things?
I guess it's probably more of an overview. It's probably more of a dip your toe in into analysis. We do have a wide range of people that come on the UEFA B, so anything from grassroots coaches up to coaches that are working in professional football. So their access to what you would class as analysis may be very, very varied, or their knowledge of analysis may be very, very varied. I think that the UEFA B helps. It's a starting block, it's a starting point to try and understand how analysis can help you, but then also how you can do your own analysis. You don't need a video camera, you don't need an analyst, somebody, actually what you just need is a piece of paper and a pen, and then it's understanding what it is that you want to try and get from that. So we give some examples of different ways that you can analyze a game. I think it's always best when it's linked into how you want to play.
Yeah.
So if I go back to thinking about my team who are defending mid block, well, one of the things that I'd be looking to be keen on is how many times do we win it in the middle third, because that's actually what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So then real simple form analysis for me is that I might not need to do it. If I've got an assistant coach, I could get them to do it. It could be a substitute player, it could be a spectator, somebody that we know, whatever. I might just have a number of regains in the middle third. Just a tally chart, and at the end of the game I have a look, and then we've only regained it twice in there, well maybe my strategy isn't working. but I like to link it into that. But there's loads of different ways you can try and do that, and it's most basic form. It could just be the number of times you get the attack in the third, number of shots you have, number of times you crossed it, successful, unsuccessful. But it's about just trying to develop your own understanding of what you want the players to do, and then finding a way of how do I measure that. Because often when we watch the game live, you've always got a bit of a lens on, and it's really difficult to get away from that. And unless you are videoing your games and you've got the ability to look back, then sometimes that real cold hard data, that can't be skewed in any way. So you need some of that to try and help you understand, what your teams are doing, because you might think they're doing one thing, but actually they're doing another. So that's really what we'll look at in analysis, and we'll have a little go at maybe formulating your own little analysis sheet, and you work in little groups, and we'll try and figure out, and you might pitch an idea of somebody else or whatever. And because at the end of the day, it's figuring out what is best for me.
Because
I'm now going to go away with that sheet of paper, and I'm going to use that in my games or in training, however it is you want to do it, to try and get an understanding. And then it's coming back and saying, right, how do I use that? What has it actually shown me? And does it back up, or does it, go against what I think happens? But I think that's the basis of the analysis, really, is helping you understand what really goes on in matches.
Yeah, it's interesting, Michael, because it's a key part of the game now, isn't it? We see it on Sky, and the statistics and the data that comes out. So it's good to get a little bit of insight into it and how it can help you as a coach, really.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I remember somebody saying, data's not the answer, but it can be part of the answer.
Yeah.
It can help you to get there. And
yeah.
I fully agree with that, And some people now, there's a lot of data involved in the top end of the game now, and it's just literally about how you use it, and what you use it for. So for us, it's just helping to get that start and understanding of what can be achieved and what you can get from it.
Michael, coaches that will come on the course, got an in-depth project to complete. Do you want to chat a little bit around that? It's the main part, it's a big part of the course, the project, and the UEFA B.
So on the sea a little bit, and you kind of get set what needs to back up what you're doing. The project is there for, it's almost to show your learning, it's to show your journey over the course, and it's to almost evidence what you've done and how that works, but in your setting. And that's where, this is where it really hits home, is that it's not an assignment, it's almost like it's a reflection of what's happened from block one all the way to block four and beyond. And it's so personal and relevant, because it's all about you, and it's about your team, and it's about your players. So the project's kind of split into a few kind of areas, and it's linked into the FA and how we talk about football, about who we are, how we play, how we coach, how we support in the future player. So it's kind of linked in those areas, and it's looking at yourself, who am I, you know, what's my coaching philosophy, what's my playing philosophy, because again they're different, you know, your playing philosophies, we're talking about strategies and tactics and things like that, whereas like your coaching philosophy is probably a little bit more, it's probably a little more deeper around like you know, what you believe in and kind of how you feel like you coach. But then also your club as well, so you know, you're involved in a club and they might have their own club's philosophy, and there might be some things that you can align and get all together. But it's almost like in that project, when you open that page and around who we are, or the pages, I get an understanding of you as a person, as a learner, but then also like the setting that you work in, and what maybe, you know, your targets are, but what kind of environment that you're in, because that helps into like perspective everything else that's going to follow. And how we play is probably like that in-depth bit. So people often just think it's formations, or I play 3-5-2, you know, and whatever, but actually that's not really what we're talking about, you know. I'll go back before, we're playing a mid-block because we've got fast forwards, because we want to win it and we want to play in behind quickly, you know. So then what are the strategy try and do that? So you know, we keep our midfield compact, you know, we squeeze up the pitch to squeeze the space in behind, and then when we win it back, if we've got a pass into feet, we'll play a pass into feet. If there's a pass into feet, that means that we want our fullbacks to join in, so that is a tactic we've got of overlapping fullbacks to try and exploit the space in behind. But then otherwise, if we can pass into space, we will. So that's the bit for us around how we play and what we're trying to do to beat teams, you know, and giving the players an identity and an understanding. It's back to that thing around, if they know how you want to play, you can help them to develop and help them understand and get them on the same page as you. And it's getting that out on paper, I guess, or on the computer for the learner, is really understanding actually what do I want them to do. It's a big part of the learning bit, and often what we find is you'll start the project, and then by the end of the project it's changed. And the, you know, and like there's nothing wrong with going back in and adapting it and changing it, because it's an ongoing process. So that first real part is like an inquest, I guess, into like, you know, you as a person, what you believe in, what you want to do, how you want your players to play, you know, how are you going to do that. That's what the first part's about. And then a little bit linked to that is like your team, your players, the future player. So we'll talk a little bit about player profiling. So again, it's like, it's understanding about your player. So we'll say things like, if you were to make a list of your team, all right, and you did a top five, your top five dribblers, your top five long passers, your top five short passers, the same names probably aren't going to be on the top of each list. You know, so your players are slightly different, you know, and they've got different skills and attributes. And if we just did that with three technical aspects, well, actually, like, there's more things. So you might say, well, actually, who's the most confident? You know, who's a good communicator? Who speaks out? Again, looking at those lists, they might not be the same, you know. Who struggles trying new things? You know, who can deal with like hardship, who can, you know, who bounces back quickly, who needs help. So it's trying to get that real understanding of all of your players, because at the beginning we talked about coaching behavior as well. If I really start to understand my players through profiling, then I'm going to then understand how I can then behave to try and get my message across the best way. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I know that someone needs some help, probably this player needs understanding, they need to know why they're doing it. And also then that I might have to give them a little bit more, and actually this player, they just do it. But actually I might just need to be like, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and like if I do this profile and this understanding of, you know, what they're technically good at, tactically understand decision making, you know, physical attributes, you know, are they quick, you know, are they tall, like all these kind of things, I can get an understanding of each individual player, so that can help me coach them much better. But then actually it helps me plan my practices. So then if I have got a defender that is really good at 1v1 defending, you know, so then right, I'm very careful about where I put them in 1v1 practices. But then if I put them against the player that really struggles in 1v1 attacking, then that 1v1 attacker is probably going to get zero success, probably going to struggle to get any kind of thing out of the session. So I plan maybe ahead of time, if I'm doing a 1v1 practice, I match up my players, and I might match them up in three different ways. I might match them up physically, I might match them up from an ability point of view, where I might go, right, well, I might match you the same, but actually a player who is not maybe the greatest 1v1 attacker, I might try and pair them up with someone that's not the greatest 1v1 defender. So then we can start to get a little bit of success. And then I might have a little change in mind where I might put them, you know, the next rung up, etc. So we're getting that right level of success, stretch and challenge, but without absolutely killing that player. They've just got nothing. So this profiling process allows us to have all that information. And to be honest, most coaches have probably done it in their head already.
Yeah.
You know, like they know the players a little bit, but by putting it on paper, by putting it on the computer, it really helps you grasp it. Mm-hmm. So that when you come to plan, you're thinking ahead of time, you know. And something we talk about on the course is, you know, plan who's playing where, who's playing in what position, and understand why you've done it, you know. And like, and then you understand that the real parts of planning, because you're using that profiling to get a better session. And then the same thing goes, like I said, for your coaching behaviours. And you can link in as well, I guess, for that profiling. We can expand in you know, the player capabilities that they have, the six capabilities that the FA are using at the moment. So that might be an area to start. No, but then actually there's loads you can deliver. And as part of the project, you can go, it's a bit like the plan. It's your profile, so you can go in depth if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be kind of just scraping the surface, but for us, I think it's just always encouraging to try and do as much as you can so you get a better understanding.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Michael, what would you, we've got coaches out there that have completed the UEFSC, interested, keen on developing that journey even further. What advice would you give to these coaches that are thinking about doing the B to support when they come on the course?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the time when we get learners on the B is that we probably get them in a couple of different categories, where some are really comfortable in the classroom and talking about in possession, out of possession strategies, etc. You've got some who maybe this is new for. But what they all have in common is when we get on the grass, it's coaching in action, it's coaching live. So my advice would be, yes, try and, you know, brush up and have an idea of how you want your teams to play. It's practice coaching live. So it's setting something up. So a good practice is a practice that allows your players to do the thing that you want them to do, you know, repeatedly, and it looks like the game. So like that's the most easiest way to put it. So if I'm doing, you know, defending the 18-yard box, then I am going to set up a practice that allows the players to defend the 18-yard box. And also, they'll be set up with the right units and the right players and whatever. As long as I've got a starting point, that'll set up great. What I think learners need to develop is seeing that part. So seeing almost the fault, see when something goes wrong, you know, and then acting on it.
Coming up with a solution.
Yeah, you know, coming up with that. And that'll be linked to them understanding their plan, what they want them to do, you know, and depending on who you work with, all right, you maybe learn from some of the feedback you get from the players, because you might go in and say one thing and they'll be like, well, if I do that, this happens, or, you know, and it helps you to learn as a coach. But it's that real live bit, you know. And a lot of coaches now is, we want to play for a bit, then I want to bring you in and talk to you. But sometimes for a lot of those players, they've missed that.
Yeah.
Missed that visual, they've missed that instant bit.
Picture's gone.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I don't mind, you know, working in blocks, you know, and coming back in and whatever, but like, there has to be that element of coaching live. And it might not necessarily be a stop, you know, a stop and stand, and this is what we want. It might be just that moment where I can just go, like Gary, you know, when that ball went over there, like over to the left there. So if you just close that gap in there and open your shoulders, you'll be able to see that fullback. Mm. There's a bit of information, there's a bit of coaching, but I'm just trying to wreck behaviour. I'm just trying to, you know, help you to understand what I want you to do. But it's doing it live. And that's the biggest bit for me, because I think the mixture of a lot of things, like coming on a new course, maybe an overload of information, being in a group with other people that might have more experience or have worked in different areas, all of that kind of mixture does make it quite intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there's that danger where it's your turn to deliver and maybe your session's gone and we haven't seen you. You know, like almost the session's gone and we've just facilitated. So I think...
Yeah.
Strangely enough, the thing we want you to do is coach.
Mm-hmm. It's getting that detail over to them, to the players as well, isn't it? So that as the learning's getting taken place.
Yeah, and like that's definitely a step up. You know, it's something to understand where if, you know, we'll take that example where I just said, oh, well, if we take two steps closer to the centre back and open up our shoulders, we obviously the rabbit. That is some specific information, specific detail, instead of tuck in.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe that's the bit where we're trying to push people to now, is that, you know, maybe that overall general information isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really getting the players to understand, because, you know, what if the player controls it inside? What if the player controls it outside? You still want your player to do the same thing? You know, the answer is more than likely might not be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's having that information. When it happens, when you see it, you can get that across. So the detail, I think, is a big, big part. And seeing it, like you said. So, yeah.
Terrific, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us on From the Sidelines today and sharing your knowledge around the UEFA-B. And good luck in the coming months.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks very much for having us.